Well, our four readings, which from Genesis to the Gospel of Mark spanned 2,000 years of history, all our readings spoke of the sufferings and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these readings culminated in Mark's account of the death of Jesus Christ, the excruciating death of Jesus on the cross. But why? Why did Jesus have to suffer so and die? And what does the painful death of Jesus tell us about our God and our Father? Well, we could go to any of our readings for answers to these two great, important questions. But think back to the first reading we had this morning from the book of Genesis, because there we had such a vivid, real-life picture of why the cross is necessary and what the cross tells us about our God. Because there we read of a man, Abraham, and his son, Isaac. We read of how God tested the faith of this man, Abraham. He only had one son, Isaac. And one day God came to Abraham and he told him, "Your only son must die. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go and offer him as a burnt offering." Abraham's only son, his son whom he loved, was under a death sentence from God. And Abraham himself was asked to be the executioner of that death sentence. Now think of the emotions that Abraham must have undergone, that he must endured as father of Isaac, as he struggled in faith to obey this death sentence that God had placed on his son. Think of the emotions that Abraham would have gone through as he set out on that journey, knowing that the end point was the death of his son. As Abraham took one last look round the family encampment where many years of joy had been spent with Isaac, and these thoughts turned to sorrow as God had called him to put all that behind because his son was sentenced to death. And think of how the emotions of Abraham would have struggled and grown deeper as he journeyed with Isaac to the place where he would have to put him to death. As Abraham gave to Isaac that wood to carry, which would be the fire for the sacrifice. And the agony in Abraham's heart as they journeyed on that last step to where he would put Isaac to death. And Isaac turns to his father and asks him, "Where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" And Abraham looks back at his son, knowing that his son is to be that sacrifice. But in that story, Abraham received a last-minute reprieve. God called out as Abraham had the knife lifted to strike into his son, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son." Abraham in that Genesis story was spared the ultimate agony of seeing his son die. In place of the death of his son, God provided a ram for Abraham as a sacrifice. And so, having endured the trial of that experience, Abraham was able to confess in joy, "The Lord will provide." Abraham's son, who was sentenced to death, lived because God provided another sacrifice. And this incident, this test of Abraham's faith, 2,000 years before Jesus was even born, is so much more than just a test of Abraham. It's a vivid picture given to Abraham and to us of what would happen on Good Friday 2,000 years later. This story in Genesis shows us that the Heavenly Father would put His Son to death, that we, like Isaac, might live and not die. Let me explain. We are like Isaac in the story in Genesis. We have a death sentence from God hanging over our heads. God says to everyone in the world, "The soul that sins, it shall die." And as we search our consciences, we know that this condemnation applies to us. We know, as Ecclesiastes says, there was no one on the earth who was righteous, no one who always does what is right and never sins. We all deep down know that we are not who and what we should be. For we do not love God with all our heart, soul, strength and mind, and nor do we love our neighbor as ourselves. Our situation, each one of us, is as serious as Isaac on the altar with the knife of Abraham hanging over him. Because God says to all of us who have sinned, and we all have, "You shall surely die." We are Isaac on the altar. But as we see that, and as we realize that, the experience of Abraham rings down the ages, "The Lord will provide." Yes, just like Isaac, we are sentenced to death. But Good Friday tells us that God has provided another to die. God has provided the ultimate sacrifice. For us, it is no ram. It is the only Son of God, the Father's love. For us, the sacrifice is the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham was spared putting the Son of his love to death. But God, the Father, sent His Son into the world. The Son with whom He had unbroken joy and fellowship from all eternity, to put Him to death, the cursed death of the cross. You see, there was no one else who could deal with the death penalty hanging over us for our sins. There was no other way to deal with the guilt of sin and the death that we deserve. God's holiness said, "The soul that sins, it will die." And a sinless, perfect, willing sacrifice was required to die in our place if we were to be set free, if, like Isaac, we were to live. And so Good Friday tells us that God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Jesus Christ is the Ram of Genesis 22, who was put to death, that Isaacs, like us, might live. And we read of all that that meant for our Savior. Psalm 22, Jesus reduced to cry out, "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind, despised by the people." We read in Isaiah 53 that Jesus was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. And we read in Matthew 15 of how on the cross God the Son was forsaken, left in darkness, bruised, battered, despised, suspended between heaven and earth, until he breathed his last and cried, "It is finished." How bad our sins must be that this was necessary to free us from the death penalty that is over us. Good Friday not only shows us the depth of our sin and the depth of our need, it shows us and cries out to us how great is the love of God for sinners. The cross proclaims the love of God for his people and God's desire to save sinners from the death that is ours due to our sin. We have a Good Friday because of the love of God. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Why else would God send his Son to the cross, the cursed death of the cross, but because of the greatness of his love for sinners? And that is the message of Good Friday. Yes, we deserve condemnation for sin, but in God's love, the Lord has provided. The Lord has provided Jesus Christ to suffer and die that we might live eternally. And we thought earlier of how much Abraham must have endured and gone through as he wrestled with the thought of putting his own son to death. What depths of love God then must have for us, that he didn't turn away that knife at the last moment, but truly and really he made his son suffer for us. Good Friday, more than any other day, tells us God is love for his people. But the great call of Good Friday is not only to hear about that love, it is to trust in the love and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. To trust that what happened on Good Friday is the only way the death sentence hanging over us for our sins can be dealt with. You see, all this love on the cross has to become ours personally if it is to deal with our sin and our guilt. We have to take our place before God as guilty sinners. We have to place our trust in what Jesus has done for us. Because it is only when we personally trust in the saving death of Jesus that we can have that death sentence on us lifted. And we can rejoice that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might be the righteousness of God. And if we do place all our trust and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, we too can say with Abraham that on the mountain of the Lord, it has been provided. We will see and rejoice that on Mount Calvary, in the death of Jesus, everything has been provided that our sins can be forgiven. On this Good Friday, may we all here leave this place rejoicing that for us the Lord has provided. Amen. May God bless these few thoughts.